Well, good morning. My name is Jeff Torrens. I'm a missionary at TRU. I work for an organization called International Student Ministries Canada. That's who we are. And what we do is called Focus Club. Hands up if you've ever heard of Focus Club. We've had your church bring a meal to students at Focus Club the last two semesters in a row. So we just want to say thank you, and we truly appreciate your support in that way. ISMC, International Student Ministries Canada, is a missionary organization on over 30 campuses across Canada. We have over 45 full-time staff members that are at universities ministering as missionaries to international students from all over the world. I believe that God's doing a new thing with Focus Club. In addition to sending out missionaries into the mission field of the world, God has made it possible for thousands of people from all around the planet. Like we said, 80 different countries on average, maybe less right now because it's May, to come to Kamloops and be literally in my backyard. They were in my backyard a couple of weeks ago. It's like a reverse missions movement. I'm a worldwide missionary without ever having to leave my own city. I don't have to learn a new language because they come to me and say, help us learn conversational English? Yes. Yes, I can speak English. No problem. I will help you with that. That's the kind of thing that only God can orchestrate, and we get to be a part of that. So thank you for being a partner with us in this ministry. It's a great privilege to be here. Thank you for your support. You give them something. I don't know if you've skimmed over those words as fast as I did when I was preparing for this. You give them something. And I want you guys to repeat that out loud. You give them something. Imagine if Jesus was standing here and we said, Lord, we have great needs. There's great needs down the street. And he looks you in the eye and he says, you give them something. I'd be checking out at that moment, be like, yeah, you know what? That's hard. I'm not sure that that's why I'm here. I thought that was your job, not mine. Those four words are found in Matthew chapter 14. You give them something. Matthew 14 really is a great chapter in the Bible. It's an emotional roller coaster for Jesus and the disciples. It's storytelling at its best. We skip the beginning part where John the Baptist is killed. It's a horrible, horrible crime done by Herod. So that's how the chapter starts. You have an evil villain plagued by peer pressure to commit unspeakable crimes. We have desperate, hungry crowds and the miracle of walking on water. It seems like this miracle of walking on water has stayed with the culture of Western of the West. There's not a movie that's made about God without having that scene where somebody is walking on water. When you talk about Jesus, they say, yeah, but you know, I don't walk on water. I'm not that kind of a guy. All right, if you go back to the beginnings of YouTube, a video that's 9 years old is called, get this, Liquid Mountaineering. It was one of the videos that made YouTube the success it is today, and it's a video of people practicing their walking on water skills. That's how this story has stayed with us culturally. The feeding of the 5,000 is a famous story as well, and it takes place in all the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to start with the feeding of the 5,000 and end with Jesus walking on the water. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had begun teaching a large crowd and was healing sick people all day long. I don't know if you've ever been involved in the healthcare profession. I have not. But healing people all day long has got to be like an emergency room doctor working for 6 days straight, and then after that having to pull a 12-hour shift without any breaks. It gets tiresome sometimes when people say, I'm sick. Can you help me? All day long. That's what was going on here. And it was a large, large crowd. One need after another can start to drag us down. My kids are here, Justin and Joe. Justin is 12 and Joe's going to be 10 here pretty quick. Kids get this idea of repeated asking. Can I have candy? Can I have candy? Can I have a pop? Can I have candy? Can I have a hot dog? Can I have candy? Can I have a candy on my hot dog with a pop? All right, they try to, that's what it's like when Jesus is there. People are hurting and people are in need. And they're desperate, and he's been doing it all day long. They had been working with the crowd, and it was evening, just before it got really dark. All of a sudden, I think, they started to realize, we've got an issue. It's going to be night here pretty quick. They had been there all day long. The disciples were hungry. The people were hungry. And they're out in the middle of nowhere, in a remote space. I don't know about the Middle East, but I imagine it could be pretty remote. We get to eat before everybody starts. We've got to eat before everybody here starts to get really, really hangry. They're going to be angry if they don't have something to eat, right? Just imagine a wedding reception where the caterer is 2 or 3 hours late. Talk about Bridezilla then. Here's when Jesus does something interesting and unique. It says in verse 16, Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Those are our four words. Say them with me again. You give them something to eat. Jesus is not above asking us to meet a need. What we do at Focus Club is we feed students. I've talked to lots of students and they're like, "I can get by eating $200 worth of groceries in a month." I'm like, "Yes, you probably can. And it's all rice and it's all noodles. There's no vegetables and there's no, you know, anything else that can sustain you." So when they come to Focus Club, they eat. We are definitely filling a need, filling a huge void in their lives, much like this crowd. In my mind, that sounds like when Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." Sounds like this. This is what I think. I say, "You know what? You're right. Everybody's getting hungry. I have an idea. Why don't you come up with some food and feed all of them?" That's what I'm thinking that Jesus is saying here. Have you seen an individual or two walking the Meridian on Summit Drive in Columbia, holding that cardboard sign asking for donations? Have you ever felt like I have the nudge to give them $5 quickly out of the window? A guy sitting in front of Dollarama with the same kind of needs. Me and my son Joe saw a guy in front of Dollarama up in Sahali. And Joe was so concerned after we went in and saw this guy sitting there with a sign. He couldn't stop talking about him and thinking about this guy asking for help as we walked throughout the store. So I asked him, "Joe, what do you want to do about it?" I wasn't following Jesus' example. I was just trying to kind of keep him quiet a little bit, but it turns out to be a good illustration for a sermon like this. Joe says, "Hey, can we buy him some bottled water?" He says, "I don't want to buy him pop because it's not healthy. And everybody needs water," he says. "And we can probably afford a little bit of water for this guy." So he had good reasons and good instructions for me. So that's what we did. We bought him a bottle of water and put it down beside him, and he said, "Thanks." We often get a feeling when you sense that somebody has a need and there's something in you that takes notice. There's a nudge. There's a part that says, "Hey, I can do something about this," or "This person may need something," or "This person looks needy," whatever it is. More often than not, instead of answering that nudge, I'm going to tell myself, "You know, I'm just going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for the right person to come along and fill that need. I'm a little busy right now, and they look like the type of person who has needs that I can't begin to help with. So I'll pray for somebody else to come along and do it. I'll pray for somebody closer to them with a better relationship, more suited to help them. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the time. I don't have the skills. Isn't there a government service for this kind of thing? Isn't this why I pay taxes?" That's what I think far too often. The Bible says, "Whoever knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins." So there's my public confession for you of sin today. But you know what? The disciples, they weren't much better. They do the same thing in this passage. They make up excuses. They appeal to quote-unquote reality. Remember the story, chapter verse 15, as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food so they can take care of their own needs." And Jesus replied, here's those four words, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And this is what they say. This is their response. We have here only. That's where I tend to stop when I feel that nudge. I have only. I am only. I can only do so much. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They answered, that's not gonna make it. That's 7 pieces of food. Too many times I find myself replying to the needs of others by saying, I have here only a small wage. I have here only limited time. I have here only a small amount of energy. I have here only a lousy cup of coffee. And this individual clearly needs more than that. All I have here really is just a desire to get away as quick as I can. I'm not prepared. I'm not equipped. You know what? I think you've got the wrong guy. The disciples are saying, you got the wrong guys here, Jesus. You are the guy, Jesus. We've been watching you perform miracles all along. This is why we're telling you something needs to be done, because you're the guy that can do something about it. Flips it around and says, you guys, instead, give them something to eat. This was Jesus' way of inviting the disciples to join with him and helping meet the needs of a desperate community. That's the nudge. Meeting the needs of a desperate community. To take it one step further, it's an illustration of his desire to invite us to help meet the needs of a sinful world. When you meet a need, Jesus meets with you. Now, is that like saying God helps those who help themselves? I would say not at all. Because the saying God helps those who help themselves is not true. It's like this, though. If we do what we know how to do, Jesus will do the rest. Jesus has to invite us and give us that nudge first. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, is this the right thing to do, or is this just me? I would always err on, hey, this is a nudge from Jesus. Go and act. We have to be aware of that nudge. Thanks be to God that Jesus is inviting you and me to meet the needs we see around us. Hungry students. When we go and advertise Focus Club on Clubs Day, first thing we say is, hey, have you guys ever been hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry right now. Well, hey, we can help you with that need. Come to Focus Club, and they show up. This is what it means, really, to surrender, to give our lives to Christ, to sacrifice our wills and purpose and pleasure for the things of God, because to meet the needs around us is never convenient for us. There's never going to be the best time. It's never going to work out perfectly. The nudge is going to come whenever God wants it to come. Most of the times, we are unprepared. Doesn't matter. We are surrendering our wills to His. And a response to that is what matters. It's like when your kids first bring up the topic of human sexuality. You're never ready to talk about that in the moment. It's kind of a crazy topic that you don't want to meet. But it's important. To meet the needs of those around us is never timely. It's never cheap. It's often thankless. But it's the Christian's calling. You're right, Jesus says. They do have a need. You meet it. You meet it. There's a Casting Crowns song where the lyrics go like this, and we've listened to this in our truck a lot. I woke up this morning, this song goes, saw a world full of trouble now and thought, how'd we ever get so far down? How's it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven, the song goes, and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Next verse. Well, I couldn't just bear the thought of people living in poverty and children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? And the song, before they get into the chorus, says this. He said, I did. I created you. Bring what you have to Jesus and see what he can do with it. When you meet a need Jesus meets with you. You may think, I'm on a fixed income. I get tired easy. It doesn't matter. Sometimes just a cup of coffee can transform a life. The feeding of the 5,000 teaches us a lesson. The disciples see the size of the need and the smallness of the human resources available. After all, it was just 7 items of food. We must learn to see as Jesus sees, however, and recognize the size of the need and the greatness of God's resources available. Psalm 50, I have no need. This is God speaking. I have no need. For every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. God is inviting you to meet the needs of a hurting world. You as in you as an individual person. You as a congregation and a faith community, you as a part of the churches of Kamloops and the churches that are going on right now worldwide. You see, his church, this church, you, church, are plan A for God. And he doesn't have a plan B. My mom told me a story about a time when my uncle and my aunt were fighting about who's going to do this big pile of dishes in the sink. Been sitting there for a week and neither of them were working on it. And my aunt, who was a storehouse of brilliant wisdom, as all women are, happy Mother's Day, said to my uncle, look, there's just you and me in this house. Who else do you think is going to come and do the job? It's either you or me. And Jesus is inviting us. You give them something to eat. Jesus has unwavering faith in himself, and I believe he has unwavering faith in you as a church, as an individual person. Unwavering faith is the assurance that God has the ability to meet and overcome any needs that may exist, and he does it often through us. You give them something, and his part is, I will save the masses. I will bring them salvation. You give them something, and I will show up in such a way that you could never imagine. What can you guys give today? What will you give? Because what you can give and what you will give are often two different things. If surrender is hard for you, what might be your reasons for that? When you meet a need, Jesus meets you, and that is how Matthew 14 ends, essentially. Disciples and Jesus had just finished meeting the needs of the 5,000. They had fed that crowd. They were hungry, and he satisfied them. And they did it together. When he meets the needs, his disciple in the boat, he goes to his disciples in the boats just to prove exactly who he is. So many times we want to say, show me, and I'll believe. And Jesus says, let's act, and I'll show up. You do what you can do, and I will fill in the rest. And here he comes in that iconic scene, walking on the water. And they respond appropriately by worshiping him as God in the flesh. So many times when we do something as simple as filling a need, God shows up to us or to those whom we are helping as God in the flesh. Verse 33, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That's God's agenda. May we come along and be a part of that. When you meet a need, Jesus meets you, and we are always changed for the better when Jesus meets with us. There's an international student by the name of Mark Tong, and he was involved in Focus Club early on when I started. We've been doing it for about 5 years now, which if you'd asked me how long we've been doing it, I'd be like 2 or 3, but we moved into town to do this, and now our 5-year mortgage is due, so I guess it's been 5 years. So friendly little reminder there. But Mark was with us early on and came to Focus Club quite regularly and then moved away to Ontario. The last time that I had contact with him was on Facebook on my phone in 2015. We were talking on 2015 and I hadn't heard from him since until last month. Here was a guy from China who had been coming to Focus Club and we'd just been giving him something to eat, meeting a need, and maybe making a friend along the way. 4 years later, after he moves away and I hadn't heard from him, he says, "Hey, this is Mark. Do you remember me?" And Facebook's a wonderful thing. He shows up with his face and it's like, "Yes, I do remember you, because if I didn't have your face there, it might have been difficult for me. But yes, totally, Mark, I remember you." He said, God has changed my life. He says, "I've become a Christian." That started back in Focus Club. And the journey continued with him until he became a Christian at his time in Ontario. So sometimes all you've got to do is just meet that need. Do what we can do. We feed students. We befriend students. We talk with students. We teach them about God's love. And then God meets with them so that they're like Mark. "Truly, you are the Son of God." That's what only God can do. Let me pray with you. God, the needs around us sometimes are overwhelming. Does not matter. Are you God or not? God, we want to be nudged. We want to be open. We want to be able to be moved by your Spirit to fill a need when it arises. Will there be lightning strikes and angels descending on us at that point? Doubtful. But when we do what we can do, you will do what only you can do. And God, every step of faith, every journey of faith begins with us filling a need for those around us. May we be encouraged, empowered, and strengthened as we continue this partnership between this church and students from around the world, that as we meet needs, you will save their souls. In Jesus' name, amen.